We're in 1 Thessalonians 2 tonight, verse 13. The Apostle Paul has been mostly commending the church of Thessalonica, as we've seen. And tonight is no exception to that. Tonight is relative to their reception of the Word of God. Notice verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 2. For this cause also, he says, we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So that's our title, the word of God. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you teach us through your word and speak to our hearts, each one, that you'd be pleased and glorified. Thank you for the privilege of meeting tonight. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. So four things we see in this passage relative to the Word of God. First thing we see is that obviously to be saved, we have to receive it. That the Word of God has the power to save us. Go to James chapter 1 and we'll see this. Verse 18. James chapter 1 and verse 18. When Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, the gospel is contained in the Word of God. People must receive the word of God to be saved. Notice verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Notice God says that he begat us with the word. That word begat means to be born again. And on down to verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And so the church at Thessalonica received the word of God and received salvation. Go to 1 Peter while you're in James. Just go over one book. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So when we are born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. Of course, the Holy Spirit's involved, the Lord Jesus Christ is involved, the Father's involved, but Jesus is the Word, and the Word is involved as well. And they received the Word of God, and the day we were saved, we received the word of God, or the Word of truth, the Gospel. And notice the contrast back in our passage, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he said, you received it not as the Word of men. In other words, when you heard us preaching the Word of God, you took it for what it was, the Word of God. You did not take it as the Word of men, which obviously the Jews that were traveling around and had challenged the church at Thessalonica, that's one of the things that they were putting forward and trying to confuse the church about was, well, that Apostle Paul, you know, he's out there preaching a false gospel. We need to tell you the true gospel. Circumcision, keep the law, and so forth. And you know what's sad is 2,000 years later, how many people go to church and get the word of men instead of the word of God? And Paul addressed this if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. Paul admits many times in his epistles that he wasn't a great speaker. He wasn't great orator, if you will. But he did preach the Word of God. And the Word of God is where the power is. 1 Peter 1:17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Think about what he's saying, none effect. That if it's based on the wisdom of words, if it's based on the wisdom of our ability to speak really well or give out a wisdom of words, he says, we've just made the cross of none effect. That what people need isn't our amazing ability to speak. What they need is the gospel. Then over in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, so while you're there, verse 4, he says it again. This time, He's not as much talking about preaching the gospel, but preaching the word to the saved. He says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So contrasting here the wisdom of men versus the power of God, he said, "When I was preaching to you, I wasn't trying to entice you with man's wisdom. I was giving you the sword of the Word of God, which is where the power is." People don't need the word of men. They need the word of God. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll see it again. When Paul wrote the pastoral epistles to Timothy and Titus, the words he used all had to do with giving out the word. Preach the word. Give the word of God. Remind them of the word of God. It was not about the words of man. 2 Corinthians 4, 2 again. "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." So that tells us that it's possible to handle the word of God deceitfully. We all know this is true. We wouldn't have cults, right? That's exactly what they do. They take the word of God and they handle it deceitfully. But if we're not careful, when we have opportunities to preach the word, we can do the same if we're not faithful to the passage and practice expository preaching and very carefully exegete the passage and so forth. So Paul's saying, that wasn't me. I might not have been a great speaker or orator, but I didn't give you the word of men. I gave you the word of God. And we must be always on the lookout for that as Christians too. Whenever we want preaching, we want preaching, amen, of the word, not of man. So that's the first two things we see in this verse, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, is that to be saved, you must receive the word. Secondly, the word of men isn't what people need or what Bible-believing Christians want. But as it is in truth, he says, verse 13, the word of God. That's our title. Word of God. What he's saying is that the word that we hold in our hands did not come from man. It came from God. Now, there's many in the world today, if you go to 2 Timothy 3:16, many in the world today that believe the Bible is filled with errors because man wrote it. And of course, man is fallible and man made a lot of mistakes in copying it and duplicating it over the centuries. And therefore, it's just not trustworthy. And that means that you don't have faith to believe that your Creator has the power to preserve His Word, right? Which He promised that He would do. No, this is the Word of God. God wrote the Bible. 2 Corinthians 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God inspired the Word of God. Yes, He wrote it through men. He chooses to use men for many parts of His ministry. But He wrote it Himself. And he explains that in 2 Peter 1, if you want to turn there quickly. 2 Peter 1:21. He gives us just a glimpse into the process of how that worked. 2 Peter 1:21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man," so there it is again, the will of man, "but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The Holy Ghost being God. So God wrote the Bible. That's why we call it the Word of God. Because He spoke it through man. Man wrote it down. God preserved it. And we have it today. Hallelujah for that. To be saved, we must receive the Word. People don't need the Word of men. There's plenty of that around. They need the Word of God. And it has been given to us by God because it is His Word. But notice the last part of this verse, "which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So here he's talking about the power of the Word of God for Christians. The power of the Word of God for unbelievers is the gospel. Amen? But once we are saved, the Word of God becomes God's one of God's tools for growing us, for building us, if you will. And many verses we could look at, but let's just look at a few. Romans 10:17, that the Bible works in us. And so Paul is, again, commending the Thessalonians, saying, you received it as the word of God, not as the word of men. You received it as truly from God, and it's now working in you that believe. So he's talking to those that are saved, that the word of God is now working in you as you read it, as you hear it and study it and so forth. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So one of the things the word of God does for us is build our faith. We all know this to be true in our own walk, don't we? Because we're told in Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's pretty powerful. Piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit. Where's that? Only the word of God knows. And as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible has the power to do that. So it builds our faith. 1 Peter 2:2, we'll see another one. 1 Peter 2:2. And so Paul is saying, good on you, Thessalonians, for accepting the word of God for what it was, and that is directly from your Creator, not the word of man, but the word of God. And now it's working in you. And that's true for you and me as well. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So that tells us that the word of God has the power to grow us. So it grows our faith and it grows us. Helps us to mature from being a baby to being an adult Christian. And then one more verse, James 1:25. This passage here in James 1 talks about how the word of God is a mirror, a spiritual mirror that reflects back to us the areas in our lives that the Holy Spirit needs to work on. And he says, James 1:25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So we will receive blessings if we take heed to what we see or what is shown to us by the Holy Spirit when we look into the Word of God. So the Word of God is what Paul gave, what the Thessalonians received, not as the Word of man. It's not what you need, he said. You need the Word of God. It's from God. It's His Word. And it works in you that believe. So aren't we so blessed to have it? Think of where we would be as Christians if we didn't have the Word of God. That's how we learned about Jesus. That's how we get the gospel. That's how the Bible teaches that we grow in our faith. That's how we grow in our Christianity and mature because of this book. We are very blessed to have a copy of it in our own hands. Hallelujah. The Word of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this simple but beautiful passage about your word. How important it is, Lord, that we receive it to be saved and that the world receives it to be saved, Lord, and that we understand what it truly is, and that is directly from you, that you've written it and preserved it for us, Lord, and that now if we will apply it by studying it and memorizing it and meditating in it and reading it, Lord, that you will work in our lives through that power. Thank you for speaking to us tonight. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.